Hosanna. Many people remember, as Christ made that great entrance into Jerusalem, the cries and the people throwing the palm leaves before Him and so forth. What did all this mean? God's plan is perfect. All these things were forewritten, and they come to pass exactly as they are written, and that should comfort you, because it lets you know that if you properly divide the Word of God, you're going to know what the future brings for you, for your people, what God expects of you. When you go into the very minute details, and they are also very meaningful. Many people that are not Christian and do not embrace the Christian faith, and there are many, not other than just non-believers, different religions around the world, and they have great difficulty, even those religions that embrace the Torah, in accepting the fact that there are two advents, the first advent of the crucifixion and bringing salvation to the world, and of course the second advent as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're going to begin with probably the most absolute proof of this, or one of the absolute proofs. Open your Bibles to the minor prophet Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Zechariah from the 9th chapter to the 14th. As a matter of fact, the 14th chapter of Zechariah summarizes, if you would, the end of this earth age. But we read in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, next to the last book in the Old Testament. And we find there that we have both the first and the second advent snug right up to each other, written clearly in a way that anyone can understand. Let's read it if we may. Zechariah 9, 9, and it reads, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion." This is to say God's people. "Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem," letting you know the location. "Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just," meaning he is fair in all things, "and having salvation lowly," that means humbly, "and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." So I don't think any of you have any problems. As it was written, that had to come to pass. And Christ would tell these two, "Go yonder and you will find a colt tied. Tell the man you have need of them," prearranged through the Holy Spirit. They brought the colt. They put clothing upon him, as we'll find out in a moment, and he made his grand entrance as Savior, he that would humble himself before the world. But that's only chapter 1. That's only the first advent. Now let's follow the 10th verse, which gives you the second advent. "And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim," Ephraim being the larger of the 10, therefore symbolically Israel that actually know not who they are even this day. "And the horse from Jerusalem and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen," giving them the opportunity for salvation. "And his dominion," every kingdom, every king must have a dominion. "His dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth. And it shall happen at the end of the earth." This time coming not on an ass, which is a lowly animal, not humbly, but on a war horse, a white steed. "And he shall return as King of Kings, and shall have dominion from one end of this earth to the other, and shall exercise with a rod of iron," as it is written in the 19th chapter of Revelation. His dominion, and thank God for it, because the only thing that ever feels pain under his rod is sin, wickedness. Not that that is good. That that is good is rewarded by that rod, that staff. Now, let's go, if we may, to Matthew chapter 21 in the New Testament. Let's pick up on the entry when they would cry, Hosanna in Jerusalem. Matthew 21, and we'll pick it up with, let's start with verse 4. Matthew 21, verse 4. And this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Sion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee meek, sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. Now, here we see this prophecy being fulfilled that we had just read in Zechariah chapter 9. Everything comes to pass, and if you observe today, in this generation of the fig tree, you will note that it still comes to pass exactly as it's written. Let's continue on. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought, he's just sending them for the colt, brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. They made a saddle, if you would, or a saddle blanket from their clothing, placed it on the animal, and he makes his entry. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. This, of course, being Leviticus chapter 23, verse 40, having to do with the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, it's important that you note, taking a little deeper look at it, that the Feast of Tabernacles is the time that most scholars believe that Christ will return. All right? But that is the season of the trumps, the seventh trump sounding in that time, which would also be the actual time of Christ's birth. I don't feel it was any accident that this entrance took place at this time. Verse 9, And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! And of course, Hosanna is a Hebrew word that means save now. And actually, when that crucifixion took place, salvation became available now. It was fulfilled. But there was a great deal more fulfilled with it that sometimes we don't really lean on or absorb in the way that we really should. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? This word moved in the Greek means almost like quake, like an earthquake, even if you would. There was that much excitement. 11, And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And of course, that's kind of a slam. They didn't say this is the son of David, because nothing good was supposedly ever to come out of Nazareth, but God showed them it could. Of course, he being born at Bethlehem, but his parents from Nazareth. 12. And Jesus went into the temple of God, and he cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. In other words, even though he came humbly, he still cleaned out God's house. He threw out those that did not belong. Do you know something? The teachings of Christ taught boldly have a way of emptying out a lot of would-be ministers from certain churches. In other words, their traditions will not stand up. I'm not calling any names. I'm just saying, and it wouldn't necessarily be any one specific denomination, just a man that will not teach the Word of God and considers his traditions and his Word more important than the Word of God is not going to be successful, not going to have the blessings of God necessarily. So Christ threw out of God's house those things that did not belong. And that must be continued. I don't mean physically or literally. Don't worry, the word is sharper than a two-edged sword. And I received the nicest letter, and I'm not going to mention any names or any part of the country, where a little lady left a church, and usually within 2 weeks, two deacons would drop by. Well, they waited about 2 months and sent a couple of ministers. She says, the reason I left is you're not teaching God's Word. And she just happened to have the PC Study Bible from Shepherd's Chapel there. That's the little computer program. And she hastily showed them where what they had taught was lies. One of them called her a dragon lady. And said, you have blasphemed two men of the cloth and have committed the unforgivable sin. She said, well, let's pull that up and see what it says. He says, you've lied again. And he hastily left. But people, church is trying to hold people by traditions and then wondering what's wrong. Do I love them? Of course I do. I do not understand personally. Of course, I know from God's Word it was written. It was supposed to be that way. But His Word, His emotions, this Word lives. It comes alive for us. And it comes into our daily lives, whereby the vivaciousness, the excitement of that prophecy fulfilled is so astounding, world over, worldwide, that I just praise our Father that we have His Word and it's a privilege to teach it. What did He do? He threw them out, verse 13, and said unto them, it is written. Do you know what it means, it's written? It's written in God's Word. My house shall be called a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And of course, quoting from Jeremiah 7:11, verse 14. And Isaiah 56:7, I should say. 14, and the blind and the lame came to Him in the temple, and He healed them. That's what's supposed to be done in the temple. Healed spiritually as well as physically. Healed spiritually, whereby you can enjoy peace of mind and happiness, and your family can get along. Your family can be a unit that has Christ at center, and it flows. And you have that to fall back on when the trouble winds strike a family. You have that center post, the foundation, to hold it together. It's important. His teachings. 15, and when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that He did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. So what's new? And there's nothing new today. If you teach God's Word, incidentally, this same lady in this particular town, which we broadcast 4 or 5 hours a day, I forget which, this minister with a radio program said, if you get that Mark of the Beast tape, don't you listen to it. It will change your mind on things. It will corrupt you. It will draw you away from the church. If you get the Mark of the Beast tape, you throw it away or burn it. Yeah, you know, that is awesome when you stop and think about it. And that's in one of the major cities here in America. But God takes care of His own. You don't have to worry about things like that. God will, I assure you, and His little ladies He has with PC computer programs, they'll take care of God's Word, God's own servants. Okay? 16. And He said unto him, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus said unto them. In other words, the religious community blew up and said, are you listening to what they're saying? And Jesus said unto them, yea, have you never read? There it is again. Another scripture. Have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise? But you see, beloved, there's where we stop in this chapter of Matthew. Because He didn't finish that quote. You find that quote in the 8th Psalm. Let's turn there. The 8th Psalm. It's written there, all right, but it says considerably more and means considerably more. But that's why He expected you to turn there to analyze why they were saying Hosanna. why it was coming to pass as it was written. Why these children from the mouths of these babes. Let's just take the first verse of chapter, the 8th Psalm. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who hast set thy glory above the heavens. 2, and this is why we came here. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained, I repeat, ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. To bring praise to God, but David here goes back to his own youth when he was a babe, and a babe is considered a teenager on down. What happened to David that the entire army of Israel was encamped, frightened to move ahead? And along comes little old David, who was supposed to take some biscuits up to the front line for his older brothers. But you see, David had been anointed by Samuel. And David hears this giant roll out on the hill challenging all of Israel. And the men were afraid. They shook in their boots. And out of the mouth of this babe came the words, "Hey, what's everybody afraid of? I'll get him." And they were desperate enough, they believed him, took him to Saul. He says, "Hey, I've killed bears, lions, my bare hands, my tools. I'm not afraid of him." Because David knew what? God was with him. So that babe crossed a stream bed, and he reached down and he picked up 5 smooth stones. And he placed them in his slingshot. And he let Goliath come within striking distance. And he sunk one right in the center of his forehead. Down he went. A babe conquered the enemies of Israel with God's help. So you see, with God we have the victory. With God we move mountains. With God we overcome nations. We overcome our enemies. Out of the mouth of babes comes the victory when you have God on your side. Don't ever think when you're with the Father that you're alone because you and He make a majority when it pertains to victory. So that's why Christ could say, look back what happened when this one slender lad had an entire army against him, including a giant, when he has me with him. And David continues in verse 3, When I consider thy heavens, when you look up, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained. It's important that you weigh on that word ordained. God has ordered it, commanded it. And that's exactly the reason it comes to pass as it's written. Verse 4, what is man that thou art mindful of him? What do we amount to that you would pay this much attention to us? And the son of man that thou visiteth him? Because he loves them, naturally. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, the Elohim, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou makest man, that's to say Adam this time, aside from Christ, to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. How many of you men realize that? And you women also, there's no gender here necessarily. You're supposed to take charge. God created this earth for you. Not that it should run over you, but that you should manage it. And that's the frame of mind you must have, that you're a winner, a can-do type person. Because your own Father created all this for you. The animals, the kingdom, the dominion. And He gave it to you to utilize. So don't ever let it use you. You use it. All sheep and oxen, yea, and the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth. He gives us the victory. You know, a lot of people can't realize we're the richest people in the world, the children of God, or because our Father owns everything, including the heavens. And we don't take charge sometimes when you really should. And by not taking charge, by not claiming that that is ordained, it just flows right on by. It's gone as far as you're concerned. You can be a champion of your people if you stay within that framework that was ordained by Almighty God. You can have the victory within that, even as little David. You can be a giant killer. That giant was received a deadly wound to its head, a political system, a one world universal system, will receive a deadly wound soon. Who's going to give it? Who's going to issue the blow? I don't know. But I know one thing, it's whomever God will choose, and in whatever way and method. It's not necessarily a wound of violence. It's simply the destruction of a lying system, a false system. And God will lead one and give them the sling stone that shall bring that to pass. At the Feast of Tabernacles, where the saying Hosanna came from is Psalms 118. It was known by everyone because it was sung publicly at the Feast of Tabernacles every year. I just want to cover some of it so that we see it is written. This is why they cried Hosanna, save now, when He entered Jerusalem. And I hope that you draw the strength from this to know that as a child of God, you have certain powers from Him and in Him to accomplish that that is ordained. Let's pick it up if we may. Let's take it verse 4. Let them know that fear the Lord say, let them now that fear the Lord say, that His mercy endureth forever. God is always a merciful God. That means He gives unmerited favor because we sin and fall short. But on repenting, He will forgive you. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place, a place with deliverance. This world, the field that we're supposed to work in. The Lord is on my side. Let that sink into your mind. Meditate on it. The Lord is on my side. You can say that to yourself. He is. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? What can he if you don't let him? You see, if you use common sense, as long as God's on your side, of course you have the victory. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. You don't have to worry about it. God said, touch not mine anointed, and He meant it. Anytime one touches one of them, they're going to get it, friend. Sooner or later, God takes care of them. 8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Beloved, don't you ever put your confidence in a man. He'll let you down. He'll disappoint you, but God's Word won't. It is forever, and He is forever. It shall happen as it's written. That's where your stability comes from, that all things do happen. Let the fact that the children themselves cried Hosanna strengthen your heart to know that God ordained it. And hundreds of years later, it come to pass exactly as it was written. Verse 9. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. That means official rulers, government. I've got a lot of confidence in my Social Security and my government taking care of me. Well, I'd rather have it than anyone else. And I, for one, have been out of this country a few times under very severe conditions where, boy, it felt good to get back. I mean, prayerfully good to be back where life means something. I know some of that's deteriorating. But when you go to Europe during World War II and see officials supposed to be making good money, pilots, I mean, that's like the captain of a ship digging in trash cans for coffee grounds. Things of that nature, you know. People washing dishes to get the egg scraps we left on them when we were finished eating. And even in Asia, where children are discarded with sores and to lay by a wayside with hundreds of people walking by and that child lying there dying. And nobody cares. Or at least if they care, they don't do anything. America's a good place, my friend. 9. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put the confidence in princes, any government or anyone else. 10. All nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. Do you understand that? He gives you certain powers. They compass me about, yea, they compass me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. 2 times for emphasis. If you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can cast a mountain into the sea, which means a nation. And that means, naturally, it was the false religious nation that will be cast into the sea by the truth. Falseness cannot stand against truth. 12. They compass me about like bees. Have you ever seen a swarm of bees? That means there was a multitude of them all over me, all around me. They are quenched as the fire of thorns, for in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. So you see, Hosanna means salvation, yes. But it means standing up for the Word of God. Loving, yes. But an enemy? Love them, but correct them. All right? 13. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. In other words, you're going to stumble every once in a while. You're going to stamp your toe. And it's going to look like, oh, woe is me. I try to do right and I pray to the Father and now this. Muster up to it, friend. You're a can-do type person and God will never give you more than you can handle. Just walk into it. And always do this. Get the toughest one first. All right? When you wake up every morning and you're just dreading that day, take the one you dread the most after you pray over it and plan as best you can, and you're going to find out there was nothing to it in the first place. What you ever even worried about it for is beyond understanding. It was so easy. Because when you ask the Father, He will help you. He will give you a way to handle your problems. The Lord is my strength, in verse 14, in song, and has become my salvation. He died on the cross that He might be your salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. Who sits at the right hand of the Lord? Who took a seat there? Christ did. Naturally, His right hand does, because it's your Messiah, which is to say, Savior, salvation, Yeshua, in the Hebrew tongue. And we'll repeat that. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. It's raised up. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. Well, we're having trouble with that today. 17, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. That's a command. Let me ask you a question. You're going to live. You're not going to die. Why? If he gives you salvation, you have eternal life. You're not going to perish. And you're going to declare the works of the Lord. Let me ask you something. What are the works of the Lord? Out in the world today, this he built the earth. He's the Savior. Yeah. But you only get salvation and eternal life by doing the works of God. There's only one place you can learn what those works are, my friend, and that's right here. Not from some one verse, Charlie. You're going to have to get into God's Word and put your trust in Him instead of man. You're going to have to study with understanding for yourself. Then you can declare the works, because you can't declare anything until you know. Otherwise, most of the world is biblically illiterate. And, you know, if it sounds like I'm saying that, I was once biblically illiterate, and I'm still okay. If you're biblically illiterate, you can always change it. That's great. And I'm certainly not saying I know everything there is to know about God's Word, because I still have to dig at it and work at it, but it's coming along a little bit. So must you, beloved. Don't be one of these that would say, well, I got converted last week and now I'm going out and start preaching. Well, they're biblically illiterate one week and they're going to preach the next. Holy Spirit's going to help me. Well, there is a time coming when the Holy Spirit will speak through those that are delivered up. But I suppose, does God smile or wink at ignorance? I think so, maybe. But that hurts Christianity. It really does. It hurts Christianity for someone to declare works before they know what they are, because probably they're not going to be accurate. And we have way too much of that today. Verse 18, "The Lord hath chastened me sore, but He hath not given me over into death." Don't ever think He won't do it. You get the least bit out of line, and it's going to start happening to you, friend. I mean, it might start out like your septic tank stops up. Then your electricity goes off, and you've got to be down at the church to preach in 30 minutes or an hour. And everything's just going, it's obvious Satan doesn't want that gathering to take place in the first place. In the dark, maybe, but without light. I'm using that as an example because that almost happened today, okay? We lost the power in this little old town. That's one of the beauties of living in a small town. When you lose power, everybody does, okay? But God will correct you. But He will never, never lay more on you than you can handle, because He'll always give you a way out if you keep that faith and sure knowledge to know you're one of His champions. And all He does, well, why would God do that? Well, we get out of line. And besides that, we have a number one dude up in heaven that's called the accuser. And here he's called, back in Psalms 8, rather, our adversary. He's up there, and every time you mess up, just like Job is the example of this, Satan runs to the throne and says to God, "Aha! You were playing up that person to me the other day as a good Christian. Now look what they've done. Boy, oh boy, just was really had everything going their way. And now that husband and wife are down there arguing like two little children. And you call God, you call them Christians?" God doesn't like to have to take that off Satan. So who's He going to correct? I'll give you one guess. Inasmuch as God doesn't like to be embarrassed by our shortcomings, He gets out the you-know-what, and you're fixing to get what for. Because He's going to shape you up to where He doesn't have to take that too often off Satan. and you're going to learn a great lesson from it. My friend, that happens. And it's love that causes it to happen, just as it is love when you correct one of your children. Verse 19, open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them and I will praise the Lord. That's the trip to take if you can get the gates open, friend. The right road. 20, this gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. Do you know what that gate is? It's the veil. And the veil is rent. All you have to do is say, Father, I come. He rent it from top to bottom. And He sits at the right hand of God. That's where the Holy of Holies is now. And when you begin talking to our Father, you enter into that Holy of Holies by Christ. Not just a chief priest anymore, but everyone that talks to Him enters into that righteous gate. 21, I will praise Thee, for Thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. You're in pretty good shape when you take that step, friend. The stone which the builders refused has become the head stone of the corner. That capstone, which is Christ, is the head right now. It's through Him that all blessings come. Don't ever forget it and be shortchanged on blessings. You need them. You need them. You need those blessings even as a seed planting tool. I don't want you going around saying, look how God has blessed me. Yeah, I'm something special. Not like that, but just blessing you till it is obvious with the peace of mind you have that God has His hand on you. That's a witness within itself. You don't have to tell anyone because they feel the stability and the peace of mind in your life and know that you're trying that walk into that and utilizing that chief cornerstone. The 23, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. That's God's works. That's part of what you're supposed to declare. 24, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This was David's victory. This was David's victory, if you would, in his song at the Feast of Tabernacles. It's our victory today in the truth and our Father that never changes when He looks down in your life today. And it gets trouble, it gets rocky roads, but that makes you tough. That makes you a can-do type person. 25, save now. Do you know what did I say? Hosanna means save now. Now this is fully translated rather than only transliterated from the Hebrew. Hosanna! I beseech Thee, O Lord, O Lord, I beseech Thee, send now prosperity. Hosanna in the Aramaic. Save now. This is the scripture it's taken from. As they cry, blessed be He that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. Prosperity is part of it, my friend. Why? Well, how can that be? He told you, I created everything for you. Are you getting your part? You're my child. Are you getting your part? That comes in blessings, my friend. And some of us have more than others, I suppose, and some of us have less than others. But you always have what you're able to handle in Him. Get closer to Him and claim what's yours. Did He not say at one time, even if a sparrow falls to the earth, He knows it. Don't you know? He knows when you're short on something. And He says, look at the lilies compared to Solomon and all his riches. They're prettier. He said, do these things. And the number one thing is don't worry. and I'll add all these things on top of it. In other words, after you earn it, He'll pay it. All right? Think about it. He sends that prosperity. God, 20 verse 27, God is the Lord which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords even into the horns of the altar. That today is done with your love for Him. You bind your love and send it to that behind that veil. That is to say, to the right hand of the living God. 28, Thou art my God. I will praise Thee. Thou art my God. I will exalt Thee. That's important. He enjoys that. It makes his day when you tell him you love him. 29, to complete. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever and ever and ever. He is the same yesterday, today, and He will be forever. Those promises are true. And all those things that are written in His Word that He will accomplish, especially in these end times, will come to pass exactly as it's written. That's why I am so very happy with you that enjoy studying deeper into our Father's words to claim what's yours. And it is certainly wrong to make your priorities claiming property. I only use that as an analogy to let you know that the most valuable of all gifts, which is knowledge, understanding, and peace of mind, when you are happy and when you have peace of mind, all things happen good to you. Look back in your life. Most usually it was a time like that, boy, you could do no wrong. Have you ever heard that old saying? And then sometimes Satan gets under you and ripper, ripper, ripper. He's sawing the floor right out from under you, and you don't hear his saw. Okay, but that's discernment. But God loves you a lot. He doesn't expect you to fall, but He will let you if you want to. It's up to you. Claim His promises. And when the children cry, Hosanna, save now, as He entered, never forget the first thing He did. After coming down from the back of that animal, He marched into the temple, the house of God, Bethel. And He cleaned it out. You see that inasmuch as Christ is the chief cornerstone and we are all the body of Christ, one body, which is the temple of God, that we do our best, and yes, we will fall short, but that we do our best to keep false teachings out of this house, right? Your mind, that you're able to discern and throw out of your mind those things that you know are not biblical. There's only one way you can know whether they're biblical or not, and that's to know the Bible, the Biblit in the Greek. And then you see those words come to life, and they have life, and they're life-giving. They give you life, eternal life, a life of happiness. And our Father will always bless you. And I tell you this, there's no such thing as luck. It's blessings. God's blessings. And the harder you work for Him, the more blessed, I could say the luckier you get, the harder you work anywhere. That's true. A lot of people will pray and they'll say, oh God, I need a new car. Well, go out and work for it. You know, work a little harder. Take an extra job and you can have it in just a little while. He doesn't do business that way, you know. Pray for knowledge, understanding, compassion. And have a mind that looks to Him. For you and He make a majority when it comes to getting it done. Whether it's in your life or in the world, you can make a difference. David did. And most of the words we've been reading today were either David's or his offspring through Mary. our Heavenly Father being the Father, of course. All of them came through Him. They worked for Him. He had some pretty hard times. But boy, He could get it done. Because that mantle carried Him through. It will you. Don't look to man, look to that Word, and it will give you that eternal life. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Father, for Your Word. Thank You for Your blessings, Father. Be with us this day. We ask it in Yeshua's name. Amen.